Now, some of you who've read my previous volumes of memoirs may come up with a question. You may recollect that the previous volume of memoirs ends in 1956-57, the Buddha Jayanti year, whereas this volume, Moving Against the Stream, begins in 1964. So what about that intervening period? Well, for that intervening period, there is no volume of memoirs, and it's probably unlikely that I shall be able to fill in those missing years myself for various reasons. But all is not lost, because that missing period has been filled in to some extent by my old friend Contipalo in his book Noble Friendship. Contipalo arrived in India from England in 1959, and he came to see me in 1960 with a Thai bhikkhu who was a great friend of mine. Contipalo had been ordained as a shramanera, or novice monk, in London about a year earlier by a Sri Lankan bhikkhu who was another old friend of mine. And on Contipalo's arrival in Buddhagaya, where he was going to stay at the Thai monastery for a while, he heard that there was an English monk, Sangrakuta by name, in Kalimpong. So he and my Thai bhikkhu friend Vivekananda came together to see me. Contipalo spent altogether 3 years in India, and out of those 3 years, 1 year was spent with me, not in one installment. There were two very lengthy installments, and this one original short meeting at the Trayanavartana Vihara. As I think Ratna Gosha has already mentioned, Contipalo at that time was about 10 years younger than me. Well, he's still 10 years younger than me. And I remember him very well. He was quite a bit taller than me. He was rather angular, and he was rather awkward in his movements. He had a very high forehead. He had a regular dome of a head. But I soon found he was very, very sincere, very, very willing to learn. He himself, in the course of the book, says somewhere that as a young man he was very conceited. Well, that's for him to say, but I certainly didn't notice any trace of conceit during the time that he was with me. He was very humble in a way, very willing to learn, very receptive, very helpful, very cooperative. I found all these virtues in him. And yes, we did develop something of a friendship. He spent, I think, about 6 months with me uninterruptedly on one occasion in Kalimpong. It was partly during the rainy season, and it was also at that time that we paid regular weekly visits to one of my teachers, that is to say to Yogi Chen, about whom some of you may have heard. Yogi Chen lived as a hermit on the outskirts of the Kalimpong Bazaar and spent most of his time in meditation. He allowed himself half an hour a day in which to write, and in this way he produced quite a lot of books. I was already visiting him quite frequently, I think even once a week. I think it was on Saturdays. He didn't usually allow visitors, but I was privileged. I was allowed to see him whenever I wished. So I took Contipalo to meet him, because Yogi Chen was a great meditator and very deeply versed in the Dharma, and I thought it was good that Contipalo should become acquainted with him. By the way, perhaps I should mention that Contipalo was not then called Contipalo. He became Contipalo when he became a fully ordained monk or bhikkhu. He was then called Sujiva, the well or happily living one. which I felt was quite appropriate. So we had many discussions with Yogi Chen, and to cut a long story short, eventually Yogi Chen offered to give Kantipala and myself a series of lectures, just for the two of us, on the subject of meditation. Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, Chan, the whole field of Buddhist meditation in which he was deeply versed. So week by week we went along. Yogi Chen prepared his talk, his discourse very carefully, and for 1 hour we listened. Kantipala made very extensive notes, and when we got back to the Vihara, he wrote and typed them up. He showed them to me. I made suggestions, corrections. We checked them with Yogi Chen. And in this way, a book was produced, which was eventually published as Meditation Systematical and Practical. So Kantipala and I worked together, collaborated together in this way at that time, during his stay at the Trayanavartana Vihara. And incidentally, in the course of his book, he gives a quite engaging picture of our life at the Vihara. And I must say, when it was read to me very recently, I was a bit shocked. Because we were living so simply. And our food was very simple. Kantipala doesn't exactly complain about the food, but he clearly did find it very, very simple, very, very spark even, indeed. And of course, we didn't usually eat after 12 o'clock. Yeah? So I hadn't realized just how simply, how austerely, you know, we were living, how I was living at that particular time. And it was something of, an eye-opener. It wasn't perhaps surprising that when I returned to England after 20 years, I weighed only 8.5 stone. Huh? Yes. I'm a little more than that now. So, Kantipala writes about that period of his stay in India, his time with me at the Trayanavartana Vihara, very, very engagingly. But I also took him on tour with me among the Indian Buddhists who had recently converted to Buddhism under the guidance of Dr. Ambedkar. And he assisted me greatly in the course of one of my very extensive tours, in the course of which I visited dozens, even scores of towns and villages, and gave many, many lectures for the benefit of these newly converted Buddhists. In fact, in Pune, we held a training course for newly converted Buddhists, for some, might have been about 50 of them. And the training course lasted 1 month, and the courses were held in the evenings because everybody was working, everybody had a full-time job. But that was quite a historic occasion, quite a milestone. And at least one person was present on that occasion, I think it was in 60 or 61, who afterwards became a member of the Western Buddhist Order, or Tralokya Bodha Mahasangha, but who recently, unfortunately, died at a quite advanced age. So I had this contact with Kantipala, he had this contact with me, both in Kalimpong at the Trayanavartana Vihara, and also on tour, on my lecture tour or preaching tour among the newly converted Indian Buddhists. So we did have a very good, even a quite deep contact. And he has written about this in a very engaging way. He also writes, of course, about his impressions of India. He writes about the time he spent in Nepal, where he met people that I had met many years earlier. So the book as a whole is very, very readable, and I hope that quite a few of you will find time to go through it. But this is, as it were, by the way, I've mentioned, yes, that I have finished my memoirs, the most recent volume. I've mentioned that Kantipalu's book fills a gap, fortunately. And now that my memoirs are finished, I have, of course, much more time for reflection and meditation and so on than I had while I was working on the memoirs, especially during the period that I was obliged to dictate the last 10 chapters.